across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Friday morning, August 9th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, on social media, or on demand by podcast. Thank you for taking us along on your day. I've got a question for you, and it's a serious one. Is Donald Trump okay? If you watched that train wreck yesterday, disguised as a rambling, fact-deficient, often incoherent monologue that passed for a Donald Trump news conference, you'd have to wonder. And as someone who would later become the oldest ever president if he wins in November, asking about Trump's mental acuity is a responsible long-term question, and we're going to talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about that and other political news this morning. We'll ask Mark Jacob if reporters and pundits are asking questions about Donald Trump's fitness for office as enthusiastically as they were about President Joe Biden. We'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel along with an update on Trump's legal cases. And we'll talk to Dan Schumacher about sports, the Olympics, the Brewers, something special about the Brewers that I'm going to mention in a couple of minutes here. And don't yell at me when I mention it. I'll explain in just a minute. Our phone number here is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call or text it. You can also use the Civic Media app to call or text us. You can also comment on social media, the Facebook and YouTube pages where we are, or you can send us an email, just as easily, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Temperatures around Wisconsin, really consistent. It's 57 here in Chippewa Falls, and that's the warm spot that I found around the state. 52, where Greg Bach is in Waukesha, is the cooler spot in the state, and everybody else is in that range. You are all somewhere between 52 and 57 degrees. It is beautiful sleeping weather as long as you're able to sleep. Some of us insomniacs, it was beautiful for going, why can't I fall asleep? And Greg Bach is here to also tell us that it's Friday, and as often happens on Fridays, we're just tired.
Yeah.
We're so ready for the weekend. How are you?
I'm doing well. You got that Monday, Tuesday energy. You're like, yeah, I got good sleep over the weekend. Let's do it by Friday. You're like, I just, oh, can I produce the show from home? No, I can't. All right, I get in the car. And I had a special little lady jump in bed this morning with a little Maybell. Because, no, knock it off. A special little lady Maybell because it's a birthday today. She's 1 year. She's a 1 year old girl.
Oh, happy birthday, Maybell.
Yeah, we gave her a little happy birthday cookie that she was just, once she got that, she's like, everyone else can go away now.
Yep, I'm just going to take my cookie and leave. I'm fine. Yep. Leave me be. Yep. Well, that's great.
Yeah. She's adorable.
It's Friday, yeah. So I know that that means we talk about the work week coming to an end. It doesn't for Greg Bach.
No.
There's stuff to do at Milwaukee's only really awesome, cool, full-time comedy club, or however it is that you phrased it so well.
We are the only stand-up comedy club in the city of Milwaukee.
There we go. Laughing Tap. Find it at laughingtap.com.
That's right. We got Carmen Morales here for three shows. One tonight, two tomorrow. Carmen has been on Comedy Central, HBO. She is a workhorse comedian. She travels all over the country all the time. She is a favorite amongst some of the most famous comedians. She's just amazing. And I'm looking forward to seeing her because she was actually the very first stand-up comic to stand on our stage and do a set. When we did our soft opening in December of 2019, she was the host, so she stood on that stage and she told the first jokes, and so she's got a bit of history with the club.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited because now I'm just a week away from finally seeing the Laughing Tap out there next weekend. So, I mean, Don't put out the good china for us. We're fine. Sherry and I are just going to stop by. It's nothing special.
So, well,
no need for a red carpet or anything like that. We'll be okay.
Oh boy, now
yeah.
The following Monday, well, there was no red carpet to speak of. So
No. We always go in with a little trepidation to comedy clubs because we're among those people who are aware that there's one place certain people like us don't want to sit. And it seems like invariably they put us in the front row.
I already know where I'm going to seat you, my friend.
I know. I saw that coming a mile away. So no. I'm like, I may as well get it out there.
No, I'm not going to sit you in the front row.
No?
No. No?
No.
No.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Because you know where I would be if I had my druthers. I'm assuming you can watch from a bar stool someplace. So.
Well, no. You'll see the layout of the room, but I'm going to put you in a place that's comfortable. It's nice, and it's not in the front row. But I don't think anybody that we've booked for that show does crowd work anyways. So, but I said that I don't say it to customers anymore because I did that once. I'm like, oh, because they did three shows. We were on the fourth show. No one had done a speck of crowd work the entire time. It's like, they don't do crowd work. We've been through three shows. You're good. Boom. All three of them did crowd work.
Aww.
So
I was set up with one. We were at in South Carolina, one of those Carolinas, maybe it was east west Carolina, and they put us right in the front, and the guy used me as his foil for the entire show. But you could tell it was by design, because he kept referring to me as Sparky. And I didn't know I was going to talk about it, or I would have brought it with me. At the end, you could tell this was part of his shtick. He presented me with a little trophy that said Sparky on it.
Oh, so that's funny.
I got a little something for my trouble. We're definitely looking forward to the visit down there ahead of the trip to Chicago for the Democratic National Convention. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up on us. It also means the Olympics will be winding down later this weekend. There's a lot to talk about there. Rice Lake's Kenny Bednarik got the silver medal in the 200 meter. I don't know if you saw. I watched it live in the afternoon. And then Dan Schumacher and I and Sherry and some other friends were sitting in our usual Thursday night watering hole. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the rebroadcast in prime time. And just as we started to talk about it, because we all knew that he'd won silver, but some other people in the bar did not. And they were like, hey, no. I'm like, okay, we won't tell you.
I'll bet you $5 that Kenny Bednarik wins the silver. You in?
Well, and again, like the 100 meter, all the attention was on Noah Lyles. Noah Lyles. It was all about Noah Lyles. Well, he came in a rather weak third. Kenny Bednarik got the silver, a runner from Botswana went first, won gold. And Noah Lyles just kind of crumples after that. And people said, oh, yeah, he must not be, after winning the gold in the 100 meter, he's completely spent. No, he admits afterwards he knew he had COVID.
He
was determined to run, and he did get the bronze medal, and now the whole stadium is going to go get tested or something. I don't know, but sometimes we need that reminder that we are still in the legacy of that pandemic bubble. So let's see. You had the men's basketball team came back from double digits down to beat Serbia, and so the men's basketball team will go for the gold medal. Let's see. That will be at 4 a.m. tomorrow. So you have to get up early in the morning if you want to see the gold medal game or watch the rebroadcast later. And we promise we won't spoil it if we see you sitting at the bar. Let's see. The women's basketball team, they're in the semifinals this morning at 10:30, taking on Australia. The women's volleyball team beat Brazil yesterday, so they will go for the gold medal at 6 a.m. Sunday for women's volleyball. And France will take on Spain for gold in the men's soccer final game at 11 o'clock this morning. So those were some of the highlights. Did you catch anything last night?
No. I actually fell asleep quite early last night. I was quite tired when I got home. So I think I fell asleep around 6 o'clock.
I mean, it's been a long couple of weeks here. And I know I crashed instantly.
Yeah.
But what happens sometimes is if I get a really solid block of sleep, and then I wake up, because men my age have to wake up sometimes in the middle of the night. And it was one of those where the block is so solid you can't really get back to sleep.
Yeah.
Just kind of, but it was still the fact that you got, in my case, you know, 5 hours solid. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get, well, a lot of times 5 hours of sleep, not the best thing. But man, if it's 5 really good hours, you're yeah. like, okay, I went to bed early. I needed this extra hour at 3:30 in the morning. I needed that to get ready for a 6 a.m. radio show. Because look how wide awake I sound now.
You're so chipper in Chippewa Falls.
I'm so chipper. That's me. Check back with me at 8:05. See how I'm doing there. Yeah.
Yeah.
In typical, we're gonna lose all the people that don't like sports now. We've been talking about the Olympics.
Oh God, it's so boring, Pat. Sports ball.
I tell you what, let's do the Packers first. The Packers have their first preseason game already weekend.
Oh my God.
Tomorrow afternoon, 1:00, and you can hear the game on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. But on TV, it's an entirely different matter, and only because it's the Olympics. Only the Olympics could move a Packers game, even a Packers preseason game. So in Milwaukee and in Green Bay, the NBC stations, they're busy running the Olympics.
Yeah.
And so Milwaukee, the Packer preseason game moves tomorrow afternoon to Channel 55, ION. And in Green Bay, it moves to Channel 32. So you're going to have to check your local listings, or just listen on one of these fine Civic Media radio stations.
That's like the old days. Like,
yep. Yeah.
Wow. Right.
We're going to do something now wildly premature. And this is not my fault. I did not think of to do this. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did. So blame them if things go haywire from here. But here's their headline. What's the Brewers' magic number? Now, there is reason to be confident about this. They just swept a 3-game series in Atlanta, mm-hmm. winning big again yesterday, 16-7.
Jeez.
And so the magic number is now 41. So we're not really going to talk about the magic number for a while, but the fact is the Brewers now have a 7-game lead, you know, on August 9th.
There we go.
There is already talk about, you know, when you would clinch the Central Division and then talk about how you'd go to the playoffs. But anyway, the Brewers swept in Atlanta. They're back home. They're starting their longest homestand of the year. 10 days, 10 games, starting with 3 this weekend against Cincinnati. Then the Dodgers come to town for 4 and then 3 next weekend against Cleveland. The opener against Cincinnati is at 7:10 this evening. Pregame at 6:35 on stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. We'll unpack the news in a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Yacht Rock Friday, a little variation on it with the Spinners there. A member of the Spinners was born this day. We'll have that in today's history lesson. Coming up in just 30 minutes or so, I regret to kind of kick things off in this segment with a death announcement. I wish to report, sadly, the untimely passing of the little mini hot plate here that keeps my coffee cup warm.
How long was that around?
Almost 30 years.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was brand new.
No. This thing, let me get the brand name on it. Chef Mate. Little tiny hot plate. And it came, 1996, so 28 years ago, with a little French press coffee pot, little glass one that somebody gave us as a gift. And it was kind of a joke gift because, they knew that we weren't really coffee drinkers, and they were like, oh, try French press. It's the best. We didn't. We didn't become coffee drinkers till years later. And then I realized I needed something to keep my mug warm, and I remembered that I had this thing. But yesterday I noticed it just wasn't doing the job anymore. So rest in peace, little tiny hot plate. We'll come up with something else for you. Thank you for your service, keeping my coffee warm.
If you're watching the live stream right now and I look like an angel because my face is so bright, it's because it's literally the sun reflecting off a parking sign right now that is blinding me.
Oh, no.
Within an inch of my life. Like, I'm like,
Can you do the show in shades? Probably not. You need to see computer screens and things like that.
My future's so bright, I gotta wear shades.
Oh, see, now you're a day late on that one. We're doing the coffee cup on Fridays here. This one, I gotta hold a little closer to the camera. Valley Fair, the amusement park in Shakopee, Minnesota, where I worked for 4 years. Awesome. Starting in high school. That was my summer job for 4 years at Valley Fair as a games huckster.
Oh, what was your game? What was your favorite game?
It was all of them. You floated from game to game. And what they liked about me was that this otherwise sometimes quiet, unassuming person would, when we'd get a winner, because if you got a winner, it brought more people to your game and you wanted that.
Yeah.
I would kind of go nuts, you know, because if it was the ring toss where you got a ring on the bottle, you know, and you got a big stuffed animal, I'd just be like, hey, look at this. This guy over here just won this great prize. I mean, you didn't get anything extra for it. You didn't get paid anything extra. It was just like I needed to do something fun.
And then as soon as they walked away, you just sprayed like, you know, Pam on all the checkerboard.
No. I would quickly say, and I'm not speaking for any place else, but I'm saying at Valley Fair, there was nothing actually rigged about the games. They were hard. They were set up purposefully.
Yeah.
But they weren't impossible, which actually was good. When you know that as a worker, you are actually genuinely happy when somebody wins, you know? Yeah. It's like, okay, you have figured out the technique. Like, there's that underhand technique with the bushel basket and the softball, you know? Once you figure out the little spin that you got to move or whatever, you got this figured out. So anyway, Valley Fair Coffee Cup, and your coffee cup has a nice coincidence about this.
Yeah.
That would be Dan Levy from that TV show with the naughty name in it.
Yep.
And what does it say there?
It says, very uninterested in that opinion.
Typical Dan Levy stuff. It's his birthday today.
Yeah.
He and Maybell share a birthday.
Yeah, they do.
How nice is that?
Oh, I love it. Maybe I'll tweet at Dan Levy and we'll be best friends.
Oh, hey. Now, you could do worse. You know,
true.
That would be true. Cool if he did that. All right. I've avoided this long enough. Let's get into the train wreck that was the Donald Trump attempt at a press conference from Mar-a-Lago. And I mean, there's no way to say that this was anything other than what I said earlier, just a rambling, lie-filled, personal insult-filled diatribe. It was a stream of consciousness. Rather than playing any tapes from this, I might play one clip here, but I really urge you to try to find some of the things he says and just read them. And they just read like the ramblings of somebody sitting against a building on a street corner. We got about how we are living in the most dangerous times is how we started. You know, there are gangs everywhere. We are this close to a Great Depression. We are this close to a world war, he said. He said Kamala Harris is, and he actually said her name right the first time and then mispronounced it pretty much every other time, was so radical left, it's impossible to believe. She's very heavy into, and Tim Walz is far left, very heavy into the trans stuff and no borders. Like, just no lines, no boundaries here at all. And I mean, that was just the beginning of it. He talked about, you know, the stock market crash, which, by the way, was about a one-day thing, but again, continues to cheer for some kind of a recession because he thinks that would, you know, make him look good. He did mention that he had agreed to a debate on ABC, I believe it is. So there will be one debate with Vice President Kamala Harris. But again, everything had to be taken to its hyperbolic extreme. Everything was the very best for him or the very worst for everybody else. And so that's when I'm gonna play this bite. But before I play this bite, I'm gonna check on the health of Greg Bach, because I was looking in the monitor. It's like the sun has gotten even crazier. And Matt from Germantown writes in on the text line, "You always look like an angel, Greg."
Oh, stop it! You're so nice, Matt. You're so nice.
And then I'll get to Roger's comment in a minute here about the vice presidential process. But let me get to the one where Trump, for whatever reason, this fixation on crowds and crowd size. And he was comparing January 6th and or his inauguration to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Give a listen to this for about 50 seconds or so.
And I said, peacefully and patriotically, which nobody wants to say, but I said, peacefully and patriotically, the biggest crowd I've ever spoken to, and you've seen, Maggie, I was in at the mall. I was at the Washington Monument. I was at the whole thing. I had crowds. I don't know who's ever had a bigger crowd than I have, but I had it many times. The biggest crowd I've ever spoken before was that day. And I'll tell you, it's very hard to find a picture of that crowd. You see the picture of a small number of people relatively going to the Capitol, but you never see the picture of the crowd. The biggest crowd I've ever spoken, I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds bigger than me. If you look at Martin Luther King, when he his speech, his great speech, and you look at ours, same real estate, same everything, same number of people, if not, we had more. And they said he had 1 million people, but I had 25,000 people. But when you look at the exact same picture, and everything's the same because it was the fountains, the whole thing, all the way back to from Lincoln to Washington, and you look at it, and you look at the picture of his crowd, my crowd, we actually had more people.
Okay. All right. No, you didn't. And by the way, the crowd that you're referencing was a crowd of people whipped into a frenzy who then attacked Congress and the United States Capitol. You're bragging about the size of a hostile force that very nearly engaged in domestic terrorism that could have overturned an election. And you're going to invoke Martin Luther King on that? That's... that takes something. Did again the Kamala Harris thing about, you know, is she black or is she Asian? He went on to say, you know, why is she the nominee? Well, she's a woman. She represents certain groups of people. Hear that, ladies? You're one of the certain groups of people. And about Hillary Clinton, I could have done things to her that would make your head spin. She was pretty evil. So, ladies, Donald Trump, still on your side. Let's continue this conversation with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil. On the other side of this break, you're up north. Our Friday morning rolls on here at 6:34 with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil, or should I say, Courier Newsroom Wallsmania correspondent Kia Vakil in Los Angeles. Kia, how are you?
I am well, Pat. I am quite tired, but I'm glad it's Friday.
Well, you're the one that gave me the word, and I'm running with it, Wallsmania, because I was using Kamala Mentum, and it just really didn't have – it wasn't sticking. Wallsmania is at least a slight improvement on it, but it is what it is. It's been a good week for Kamala Harris in the sense that, you know, people are saying, yeah, you picked yourself a good one there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tim Walz is a unicorn, is the word I keep using in not only in Democratic politics, but in politics writ large. And, you know, the idea that he was some, it never made sense to me that he was a like risky pick for her, that a lot of people were pushing. This is a guy who grew up in small town Nebraska, became a teacher, became a high school football coach, was is a veteran. You know, he is one of the most normal. He does not own stocks or investments in the way that, you know, most politicians do. He is one of the most normal people in politics that I have come that I have seen or covered. And, you know, he is a very compelling and strong communicator. And, you know, we saw over the last couple of weeks, he went from a state level figure to the vice presidential nominee for the Democratic Party based largely on his own merits. And so that is impressive. He has definitely, you know, injected a sort of follow-up dose of enthusiasm into her Kamala's campaign. And, you know, obviously they're still riding a little bit of a sugar rush post, you know, Biden dropping out. And it's still a close race, but, you know, looking at where things were a month ago versus now, it's just night and day.
Oh, I mean, the change in attitudes from folks that I talked to at the Eau Claire rally, and of course, the things that we've heard from people at all the other rallies. And we've talked throughout the week about, you know, bringing joy back to campaigning and bringing hope back to the electorate. And I guess the thing that I really take away from this is the hunger that was out there by Americans who were ready to do something new. Now, in this case, it's a running mate. Okay, they knew who Kamala Harris was, and they reacted well when she became the presumptive nominee. And then she brings on this relative unknown from the national standpoint. And instead of a nation going, wait, who is this? We don't know. There's uncertainty. We're nervous about this. It wasn't that at all. Like any other Midwestern dad, he put them all right at ease.
Yeah, no, he is slid right in. It seems to be a pretty much pitch perfect fit with her. Compliments her in a way that, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, we're already seeing it. She's being dubbed a California liberal. They're distorting her record. I mean,
Trump saying yesterday at his wacky news conference, you know, that she destroyed San Francisco, even though he donated to her campaign at the time. So here's my question to you. You're in California. The nominee, the Democratic nominee, was a California senator and attorney general. And I just get the impression, and you're just only going to speak for all Californians, so no pressure on you, that this is one of those instances where, you know, people like Cali, they're there for a reason, but sometimes the Midwest is something that you poke fun at, you know, maybe even engage in some mockery. But when it comes down to it, I think a lot of folks not in the Midwest really warm up well to Midwest, to that folksiness, whatever you want to call it. And I'm guessing that it actually went over quite well amongst people in California, getting to know this avuncular Midwesterner.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know a single person who doesn't like Tim Walz based on what they're seeing. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, California gets a bad rap among both Midwesterners and honestly more East Coasters. And certainly there is obviously a strain of coastal elitism in this country that is undeniable. But at the same time, we're not that different. Like, people in California want the same things. Like, we just have better weather and pay way more for gas and coffee. But other than that, like, our lives are quite similar. We all want, you know, families or friends. We all have pets. We all largely work, you know, unless you're, you know, inherit a bunch of money like Donald Trump did. And so, you know, we people here like Tim Walz. They, you know, I think there is a connection there. And I think that's going to be the case with him everywhere in this country. I think he's sort of an everyman in a way that is lost in modern politics. You know, nowadays you have to be some big fancy lawyer, or go to law school, or, you know, inherit a bunch of money, or run a bunch of like car dealerships. And instead, you know, we have a guy who was a teacher and a football coach and a veteran and then decided to run for office. And that is much more relatable than almost anyone else in politics.
Right. He's just a solid individual, which takes us to the other extreme. And that would take us to former President Trump's off the rails news conference yesterday. And it was a spectacle. We've talked about that already this morning, but I wanted to, you know, give you a chance to pick, you know, one or two things that you might have wanted to emphasize. I'll throw out one and then you can go with that one or pick one or two more. The fixation on crowd size still, and not even about any of his recent stuff, but Martin Luther King and the I Have a Dream speech, and he is still competing with Martin Luther King. I can't say I was expecting that at the press conference.
No, and I don't think it's any surprise that as Trump starts to face a competitive race and no longer be like the media front runner and actually face a real competitive, you know, candidate, he is losing his mind. And he just held over an hour long press conference where he said utter nonsense for most of that. And yeah, I don't know. Martin Luther King has been dead for almost 60 years. What are we talking about here? You're comparing your rally right before a mob stormed the Capitol and got a bunch of people killed to a civil rights speech from the 60s, like, which was obviously both much more important and much larger. And who cares about that? Like, what voter in America that's not already part of the MAGA, you know, movement watches that and is like, yeah, I'm going to vote for that guy who's talking about crowd sizes for 2 minutes. Like, who gives a bleep? Like, yeah. It just, Democrats are not perfect, far from it. But like, what in the world are we talking about at this point?
Did you, for the brief time that you dipped into it, anything else really stand out from you? Or, I mean, we can't fact check the whole thing. There's just so much, but anything you want to grab onto?
Yeah. I mean, there was a moment where, you know, he repeatedly obviously goes back to the economy and inflation. And there was a moment where he started talking about how he had positive inflation. And then, you know, it was, and then he realized, no, he had to correct himself because deflation, which is what he meant, is actually bad. But just, yes. And he said something along the lines of like, I'm not like a Nobel laureate, or I'm not an economic, like some ridiculous thing suggesting he is like an economic expert without totally going. It's just like, just the sheer, he literally is someone who just doesn't know the next sentence coming out of his mouth, and he never has. And that's part of his genius in a weird way to some people, but it's also results in total nonsense 90% of the time.
Yeah. And look, there, the other last thing I want to ask you about that is whether we heard anything at all that was new, and especially anything that was, say, you know, a plan, something that's proactive, because the only thing I know of that's a plan is the border. We've heard about the border. We've got to close down the border, yep. And we've got to get tough on crime. And he talks about crime, and the way that he talked about Kamala Harris and crime and everything else leads me to ask this as a very fair question. Is this guy going to do nothing other than scare people about brown people and black people? Or did you hear something new in there that I missed?
I mean, he hasn't done that in the 9 years he's been involved at the national level. Longer than that, actually, in the 14 years he's been involved since he launched the birtherism movement. What mm-hmm. what has he ever done but scare people about black and brown people and, you know, occasionally women? His entire approach is racism or xenophobia. And, you know, he gussies it up with a lot of, you know, populist rhetoric about working class people, but his only achievement at the national level of policy was a giant tax cut for billionaires and corporations. And, you know, look, there are real problems in America, and he diagnosed some of them in a way that a lot of people had not. But there's no solutions he's proposing. His solution is what? To deport 10 to 20 million people? That's not going to solve inflation. All that's going to do is traumatize 10 to 20 million people and their families. You know, he's attacking Kamala Harris because she's a black woman, calls into question her identity. Who does that help? All it does is punch down on people. So, you know, there is not a single solution proposed to anyone's actual problems.
No, and you have to have a grip on the problem first. And that was one of my favorite notes, was he kept saying, you know, 20 million illegal immigrants here, 20 million. Nobody even knows the real number. He's like, nobody knows the real number. And yet he kept coming back to 20 million. It's like, nobody knows the real number, but I'm going to pluck this one out. And that's going to be, you know, all that there is to it. Let's go ahead and move on to other things that you're covering. And that would include a lot of races in other states here. We, of mm-hmm. course, have a big U.S. Senate race here. Tammy Baldwin against Eric Hovde not polling well, despite all the money that he has spent so far.
In Wisconsin or in California? Where is he polling?
In Wisconsin. The money's been spent in Wisconsin. It's not helping him at all in Wisconsin. I wanted to actually start, we can come back to other Senate races, but yeah. I realized that we have talked about the Republican nominee for governor in North Carolina. What's the name? Robinson?
Mark Robinson.
Mark Robinson saying some just violent, awful things. It occurs to me, I don't even know who the Democrat is running in that state. Not that anybody in Wisconsin necessarily is supposed to know, but I should, if I'm going to be talking about the Republican nominee. What can you tell me about the North Carolina governor's race and whether this crackpot has a chance to beat some guy that I don't even know who is running?
Yeah, so Josh Stein is the Democratic nominee for governor of North Carolina. He is the current state attorney general. He is, you know, quite, in terms of his approach to politics and his just general demeanor, he's pretty mild mannered. He's not quite as, you know, he's closer to Tony Evers than he is to Mark Robinson. I'll put it that way.
Okay. So not John Fetterman. It's not that kind
not a John
guy
Fetterman
that's going to push back.
No, okay. He is a very mild mannered. He is, you know, somewhere between moderate and liberal. He you know, is focused on bread and butter issues like public school funding, like economic opportunity in rural communities, protecting reproductive rights, you know, addressing healthcare disparities. You know, a guy who's focused on the actual issues plaguing people and not Mark Robinson, who, like a lot of Republicans in states like Wisconsin, is really just focused on attacking people who have abortions, denying climate change. You know, I think if him and Ron Johnson got in a room, the things they would say together would be would set a Guinness World Record somehow. But yeah, it's a night and day difference between Josh Stein and Mark Robinson. And we'll see. North Carolina is just like Wisconsin. Every election is decided by a couple points in either direction. And so Robinson has a chance to win, but, you know, I would not put my money on him if I were a betting man, which I'm not.
Okay. Now, so back to the Senate races, because again, we have the one we're watching here. When you look at what else is out there on the board right now, which ones get your attention most off for what you do for Courier Newsroom and in terms of what you're following?
Yeah, I mean, so outside of Wisconsin, I think the key ones that I'm really paying attention to are the Nevada Senate race between Democrat Jackie Rosen and Republican Sam Brown, and Pennsylvania's, which is Bob Casey, who's the incumbent Democrat, against David McCormick, who is a former Bush administration official, former hedge fund CEO, who lived in Connecticut until he moved to Pennsylvania to run for office a couple years ago and lost to Dr. Oz in the Senate primary. So those are the two races. And, you know, what we're seeing is the Democratic incumbents are doing quite well in all the polls, in the fundraising. They are running very smart campaigns. Bob Casey is focused on a handful of key economic issues. And Dave McCormick is really on the defensive, trying to, you know, deny that what he did as CEO was invest in like things like Chinese fentanyl and companies that, you know, basically stole jobs from Pennsylvania. So
goodness.
What we're seeing is really just a pretty strong Democratic campaigns
so far. And again, still plenty of time, and we're glad we have you to help follow it all for us. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil. Kia, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat.
Today's history lesson is next. You're up north. Start with a little Sly and the Family Stone on this Friday. Perfect song to play on an August Friday if it's going to be, you know, 90, 95 degrees, but it's very cloudy and cool, 55 here right now, so it doesn't have the same effect, but still, a nice uplifting little ditty by Sly and the Family Stone released on this day in 1969. It was on this day in 1944 that the United States Forest Service and the Wartime Advertising Council released posters featuring Smokey Bear for the first time. So Smokey the Bear has been around now for 80 years ago today.
Wow.
So happy birthday, Smokey.
Nice.
Yeah. It feels like we always have to have a daily dose of disco somewhere in all of these things. So let's go to 1975, and the Bee Gees get their first ever number one hit with this little disco chart topper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, I love the Bee Gees so much.
Sorry, my white polyester suit is in the cleaners, or I would have brought that today. Let's tip our hat for those who have those happy little accidents. On this day in 1173, okay, construction began on the Cathedral of Pisa. It is, of course, now known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa because 2 years in, oops, I think we did something wrong. And yet, for the next couple hundred years, they would continue building the Cathedral of Pisa. I mean, never let a foundational issue get in the way of what you really want to do anyway, right?
Oh, that's going to be fine right there. Don't worry about that. It'll just, we'll put all the people on the right side of the building and it'll be fine.
And instead, happy accident. Look at all the tourist money that they've taken in ever since. You know, last week I showed off my Leaning Tower of Pisa mug. So I left some coin there. Birthdays today. We mentioned the Spinners earlier, that the late Billy Henderson of the Spinners was born this day in 1939. The actor Sam Elliott is 80 years old today. One of the best voices, the best voice in the world.
Yeah, but I gotta make a caveat. Sam Elliott with mustache.
Oh yeah, with mustache. You know, just the you're some special kind of stupid, aren't you? You know, just the way he says things like that. Born this day in 1963, so 61 years ago, the late great Whitney Houston.
And love you.
Gone way too soon, passing away 12 years ago now. We mentioned earlier that actor Dan Levy is 41 years old today, and for the occasion, Greg brought in a Dan Levy coffee mug. Or it was just a happy coincidence.
Happy coincidence. But you know what? Those are the best coincidences.
That's right. Actress Anna Kendrick is 39 today. I know her, of course, from the a cappella ones?
Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect. Thank you very much, because my wife and daughters love those movies, and so I've seen them repeatedly. And I honestly don't know if I can pick out another Anna Kendrick movie. I know she's continued to make them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I liked her in those movies. I think she's funny, she can sing, and everything else, but haven't seen... I'm not familiar with her oeuvre or whatever we would call that. No.
Wow.
Yeah. On this day in 1988, Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians appeared on the scene with this single. This is What I Am, the first release from their debut album, Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars. The album title was a reference to their long shot chances of making it big. As big as Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars. It's worked out pretty good for them.
Yeah.
On this day in 2005, the first single was released from the album All the Right Reasons by Creed. No, wait, it was Nickelback. Sorry, I get these things mixed up all the time. Photograph was released.
Look at this photograph.
This reminds me of when you're like, is this Iron Maiden or Metallica?
I get a little confused. Anyway, the song was inspired by a drunken snapshot, and it's about Chad Kroeger's memories of growing up in a small town in Alberta. And on this day in 2008, in an interview with the Calgary Herald, Full House actor David Coulier claims he's the subject of his ex-girlfriend Alanis Morissette's 1995 song, You Oughta Know. Morissette would neither confirm nor deny the mystery man's identity. Do you see that she's in commercials now for like a cell phone company?
Yeah, and she's like recreating her videos too.
Recreating the videos, and she's poking fun at her own lyrics. You know, she's in a bus, and the bus driver's like, traffic jam. And she goes, oh, and I'm already late. You know, I think it was handled with a nice touch.
Yeah.
You know, that she wasn't like, oh, look at me. You know, there's not her name on there. You got to know that it's her or it's not. So she handled the fame well.
Pat, her name isn't on the commercial, but you ought to know.
You ought to know. Yeah. Today is National Book Lovers Day. Are you still a book reader, or do you have like a Kindle or a Nook, or read books on your phone?
I do audiobooks.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Audiobook. Totally forgot about that. Yep. Yeah. Today is National Co-working Space Day. And those co-working spaces were really taking off. They were really working out well. And then this thing called COVID came along. And we'd been in a co-working space in the early days of Up North News. And that came to an abrupt end. Yeah. Now, they're still out there. So happy co-working space day to anybody who uses those places in our downtowns and towns all over. This is Nagasaki Memorial Day for the dropping of the second atomic bomb. This is National Online Grocery Shopping Day. You live closer to like a bigger city than I do. Is online grocery shopping with delivery something you would do?
Well, we definitely did it during the pandemic. We do it now. We'll either do delivery or we'll like order it and go pick it up. But we do not go to the grocery store with a cart and go, all right, time to get the weekly groceries. And we just don't do that.
Okay. Because National Rice.
It's lazy.
That's okay. This is National Rice Pudding Day.
Huh.
You weirdos. Especially if you put raisins in it. And this is Veep Day. Not for the show, but to be aware of presidential succession, because it was on this day in 1974, 50 years ago today, that Richard Nixon's resignation became official, and he boarded that helicopter with the big two-piece symbol wave and took off for San Clemente, and Gerald Ford became president. And, of course, it's still National Sandwich Month.
Yeah.
And today, we salute the breakfast sandwich.
Ooh!
I love a good breakfast sandwich. Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio.